Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by the good folks at El Cajon Ford. They got a special deal going on all weekend. You need to go down if you're looking for new or used. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Go to elcajon.com. 619-579-8888. All right. Well, as Michelle was nice enough to fill us in, Le Mans is right around the corner.
Next weekend.
Yes, indeedy. So, Ford GT is going back. Heavy-handed.
Yeah.
They're going to try to, because they want to do it 3 years in a row, because that's what they did back in 68, 69, and 70.
Yep.
So consequently, Joey Han and the team are all ready to rock and roll. So I've got an interview. So why don't you sit back and take a listen? Okay. Hey, folks, we got Joey Han back on the line driving. You're still driving 66, correct?
66 is our U.S. number. At Le Mans, we're going to be in the 68 car.
Oh, okay. Any particular reason, or somebody else have it, or just?
Well, we run two cars in the U.S. in the IMSA WeatherTech Series, and that's 66 and 67.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the World Endurance Championship, the WEC, they also have two cars running there, which is 66 and 67.
Ah.
But Le Mans is part of that championship, so they get to keep their numbers.
Gotcha.
And we have to do 68 and 69 with our American cars. So
okay.
we're the lucky 68.
All right. Gosh, are you kidding? And would you say pressure's on? Are you more relaxed?
I'm way more relaxed than last year.
Yeah.
I think, there's always pressure to win. You want to win, but
sure.
Being the guys that won it last year, and especially with such a big deal, Ford coming back,
yeah.
Trying to win on the 50th anniversary of the 66 win, and being for the day, the race is on the same day 50 years later, and being able to be those guys to win that one was a big deal. It was huge for Ford. It's what the whole project was
right.
built around. Now it's kind of if we were to do it again, it'd be just cool again, but
yeah.
Definitely not as much pressure. They won the history of it. They won 66, 7, 8, and 9. So this would be, we're still racing for our 50th anniversary, but it'd be
sure.
a win of 67.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, how much pressure would it be with having Chip Ganassi and Henry Ford III coming up to you and say, come on, you got to win? How much pressure could that be?
Well, I was kind of big last year.
You think?
Yeah, last year we had Bill Ford, we had Edsel Ford, we had Henry Ford III.
Oh, my God.
All the kids and grandkids there. We had, Dave Parasak and, Rajnar, all the guys that were in charge of this deal, everybody was there. I mean, they said there was more execs in one spot than ever in Ford history. So it was a big deal, but that's what made it so much sweeter at
sure.
the end. Everybody had put a lot on the line. And Ford, it's not like, it's really cool because it's not like they just wrote a check and said, hey, here's a group, this group of people, go do this. They were in it to win it themselves.
Dude.
They were involved in it. They were they wanted to know what was happening. Edsel is, I've become friends with him and Bill. It's just it's cool how
sure.
involved the Ford company was. And, they did a great job. They had the idea of bringing the program to Chip Ganassi Racing. And, I was with Chip already, and it just all worked out.
Yeah.
You put a lot of great pieces together, and we got some good potential.
Sure. So, okay. If you can tell, so what'd they give you? Did they give you a new GT?
No.
What?
No.
No.
Not all the time. But
what?
I will say we got something cool from Bill Ford. Before the race, before we even ran last year, him and his son Will had designed these watches that, say, Ford GT on them.
Oh, no.
Not a winning watch. It was just about the Ford GT.
Right.
And there's a limited run of them, a very limited run. And he said, hey, right before the race, said, hey, whoever wins this race for us, I got three of these watches extra waiting for you. And I told Bill, I said, hey, you'd be surprised what race car drivers will do for a watch. I have no idea why. I don't even collect watches.
Anymore, I know.
You throw something in there, and it's like, wow, you really go crazy. So, yeah, afterwards, he kept good on his promise.
Wow.
We won, and we went to big celebration in Dearborn after the race last year, and Bill, they had us come up to Bill's office, and he handed us all his watches, me and Dirk and Sebastian Bourdais. That was pretty cool. It's a really nice watch. It's really, it's a great memory. It's a cool watch. Yeah. You got to see it.
So, hey, have you spoken to Sebastian lately? How's he doing?
I have. I spoke to him, believe it or not, about a day and a half after it happened. Ooh. He had surgery not that long before that, and I called just to leave him a voicemail.
Sure.
Actually, I just wanted to hear my voice instead of a text, and he answered. And I was like, what? And he's like, hey, how's it going, man? I'm like, what?
What are you doing?
Sounded, I was like, hold on, is this Sebastian Bourdais? He was doing really good. I was surprised. Even in that day after, he was just apologetic, like, oh, sorry, I can't be at the race. I'm like, hey, man, I'm just happy to see you.
Yeah.
To hear you and see you moving around. So, yeah, he sounds like he's doing real good. He's already in his therapy and, he's been posting all over Twitter. So,
oh, sure.
Happy for that. Sad we won't have him with us. I mean, he's our French connection,
Yeah.
Cool to have him there to do translating on our parades and stuff at the races. But we're going to have Tony Kanaan with us instead, I've raced with him, spent a lot of time with him, and he's a really good dude. He knows what he's doing. He was in the car at Daytona in one of our sister cars, so he's got a lot of time in the car.
Right.
So I think it'd be a good fit. Love to have a great race and win one with Tony.
Yeah. Well, and when you see Tony, make sure you tell him I said hi, because I have a chance to interview him. Whatever. I try every chance I get to. And you couldn't find a better partner. Not only knowledgeable, but somebody you can work with.
Yeah, he's a Chip Ganassi guy. So
yeah,
he keeps it in the family. You don't have to worry about the information getting out to somebody that might drive for another factory or something. So it works out good. I mean, it's a tight schedule for him. They had all the Indy stuff and then Detroit, and now they're at Texas this weekend, and then he's going to hustle right over and get over for scrutineering. And then jump in the car on Wednesday.
Sweet.
He hasn't been to Le Mans, so he'll have to learn the track. But, they've got him some sim work at Ford Performance, so he can learn there. And, I think it's a lot better to know the car and have seat time in the car and then learn the track. I mean, race car drivers at our level, you can pick up tracks pretty quickly.
Right.
I think we'll be good to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. And, by the way, I don't know if you noticed it, but remember what I told you? Went before the first Le Mans, I said, sometimes drivers that call in end up winning.
That's right.
Did you notice that? So, I'm on a pretty good streak. So, hopefully, if it works again, you tell Chip Ganassi, he's got to take me to Le Mans. That's all there is. If it happens 2 years in a row, forget the watch, send Stahl to Le Mans.
All right. Well, I'd say it's I've done a few interviews this week, and you are my sailing away. I actually fly in an hour back to France.
So, all right.
You're the last person I'm talking to, so maybe we can do it again, man.
Yeah, I'm always willing to talk to you, my man. I'm always willing. All right, well, give the team a great big round of applause and congratulations, and then when you win, I'll talk to you after the race.
10-4, sounds like a plan.
All right, buddy, take care.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this is AM 1170, The Answer.
So
I was hoping to get Sarah to call in. So what I'm going to do.
So it's our Barona segment.
Yeah.
BaronaSpeedway.com if you want the schedule. Should I get the schedule out?
Well, what I'm going to have you do is give this give you this number.
And call her.
And go give her just take a step outside.
Okay, in the meantime, here's the schedule.
Yeah, so for the Barona schedule coming up, we are now, June 17th will be the next race, and that'll be the Unlimited Figure 8, pure stock Figure 8. That's an 8. That's an 8. Doesn't look like an 8. No.
IMCA modified street stocks, pure stocks, pony stocks. And the beauty of it is you can get to the track all for $10. Can you believe that? All for $10. It is really, really, really a great deal. So what you want to do is you definitely want to check these guys out. Go to BaronaSpeedway.com, BaronaSpeedway.com, and you can get all of the scheduling and everything that you could possibly need. Like I said, I'm just looking to see what other. Okay, so yeah, so that's Barona Speedway. And you know, if you've not been, it's really a phenomenal track. I mean, it's kind of old school. It's like back in the 50s, but you know, you sit up on the hills, there's not a whole lot of restrictions. And I mean, it's just really, really good. 888-344-1170 is our call-in number. We're giving that to her. Okay, tell her, never mind. Okay. Tell her it was a good try. We were just trying to get Sarah Moldenhauer to call in. She's a NHRA top alcohol driver. So in the Barona slot, what we're going to do is there have been a bucket load of motorsports on.
Yes.
As we speak. Everything. Now, I haven't seen anything, so we can talk about it, and I can talk about the wins.
Well, the NASCAR Xfinity was yesterday. No, that was Xfinity was yesterday. Oh, yeah. So you watched that one, right?
Yeah, I did watch the Xfinity race.
And then today is NASCAR Pocono 400. The pole sitter was Kyle Busch. And the problem with Kyle was his crew chief was on. He's on a 4-week suspension because of the little oopsie with the wheel. Mm-hmm. The tire wasn't quite secured.
Right.
And NASCAR is so strict now that if you have any problem with lug nuts, they don't want to hear about that.
No.
There's no excuses. It's zero tolerance. And so they put him on.
Fine. I think it was just.
It's a suspension.
Just a suspension.
Yeah. The crew chief and two of the guys on the crew.
Right. The tire carrier and the jackman.
Right. They're going.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it. Did you happen to see that incident?
I did not.
Okay. It was, you know, what had happened was the jackman had come around, raised up the left side of the car, and the tire changer, his gun was in reverse.
Oh,
it wasn't in forward. So, you know, the lug nuts are all glued onto the wheels, right? They actually glue lug nuts to the wheels so that when they throw the wheel up there, they don't have to try to hand put the lug nuts up. So they're glued. But they're glued to go right. They're glued not to go left. And the gun was on the, and there wasn't, he didn't get anything.
Yeah.
So the car took off with no lug nuts tightened. And he actually got his hand up in between the fender and the tire, and it did some damage to his hand.
Yeah, you think?
But, and the fact that when Kyle took off and the tire came off and the tire went down the track, and anytime equipment leaves the pits, that's a penalty just in itself.
Yeah.
The pit box.
Yeah.
So.
That's not good.
No.
Okay. So then yesterday they ran IndyCar. Instead of Sunday, they ran it last night. And that was a mess of a race. So many cautions. So many. Right. That there was a huge delay. It went on very late in the night. Right. Under the lights. Everything like that.
Where were they racing at?
They were at Texas.
Texas
Motor. Yeah. And they had a huge crash, unfortunately. Tony Kanaan caused it. He was penalized for 20 seconds, stop and hold on lap 159 restart for making contact with Hinchcliffe's car. And it caused a 9-car pileup.
Was it intentional?
No, it was an accident.
Yeah.
It was an accident. He apologized.
But they're really... They're really coming down on these drivers for making mistakes.
Yeah, there was a lot of other stuff that happened too. But what was really crazy was that Tony ended up getting second after all that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And Will Power won first and Simon Pagenaud got third.
Wow. Oh, by the way, you didn't listen to the, was it Joey Han? But one of them knows Bourdais real well.
Oh yeah, how's he doing?
Oh, it's Jerry Hamm.
Yeah, did he give the update on how he's doing?
Or Jerry? What did I say, Jerry? No, it's Joey Hamm.
Joey Hamm.
Well, it's funny. Joey said that, you know, because Bourdais is a crew or was a team driver for Joey Han for the Ford GT. He was won it last year. And I'm trying to think. I think Kanaan.
Yeah.
In the Ford GT.
Mm-hmm.
To take
Sebastian's place.
Sebastian's place.
Yeah.
So I asked him, and Joey says, well, you know, I called him like the day after. And he says, I just expected to leave a voicemail. I was going to say, give him my condolences. Hey, man, what's going on? Is this you?
Wow.
Is this Sebastian Forte? Yeah, man, what's going on? Well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing just fine. Yeah. So he is on the road to recovery. I don't know if it's drugs or what, but Joey said that he was totally shocked that he was in. But you know what? These guys are in such stellar shape.
Yeah.
So I think rebounding is not as difficult as you and I would think it would be. Huh. But that was an ugly wreck.
Also today, we had Formula E. Now, these are the electric race cars, and they were racing in Berlin for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of the drivers. I didn't recognize any of the names. Yeah. There was a field of about 12 cars and 46 laps.
Oh, wow. They've really changed.
That's it. I didn't see any pit stops.
They used to have as much as 20 to 25 cars when the program first came together.
Not today.
And there was long races, and you would do a pit change, you know, like midway, but you wouldn't do anything with a car. You'd get out of one car and get into another car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting, isn't that? Yeah. And so they have another race coming up July 17th and 18th, which was interesting because it said championship, but then they said there's another race coming up. So I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And the only name I recognized was Dario Franchitti. He's doing the announcing.
Right. Okay, well, that's good. Dario did a good job.
Yeah. What the heck? So, I'd never seen that before. I learned a little bit.
I get Formula E, and a lot of the manufacturers are dumping lots of money into Formula E. Now I don't see so much.
Mm-hmm. The race cars look like praying mantises. They look very fragile.
Very fragile. And I've watched them. If they hit a berm, the wheel's gone, and all the suspension and all the fiberglass.
I was wondering, they seem to be very delicate, they're not aggressive
leagues. Very skitsy, too.
Yes, very touchy, you know, stay away from one another
thing. Oh, no, don't get too close.
Yeah. Very weird.
You don't hear any engines.
Nope.
You can hear the fans.
No, it's just so weird. There's no noise.
Well, I think you do get that gear noise coming out of the belt.
It's a little bit, but it's nothing like a regular race. They had NHRA, speaking of the other end of the noise spectrum.
Yeah.
They had qualifying and all that. They're in New Jersey. That was this morning also. There was a lot to watch.
Was it Brainerd?
No, it wasn't Brainerd. Old Bridge Township is the name of the place where it was at. And Courtney Force was doing quite well when they cut off the coverage. They're restarting the coverage afterwards. They said they were going to do NASCAR and then... come back to the NHRA finals.
Well, the NHRA is usually taped, you know, so they'll tape that. And I kind of like it because it eliminates all the downtime.
Yeah.
So, and that was at round two of qualifying.
Yeah. They went through two rounds this morning.
Yeah. Cause they had one round yesterday and then two rounds today.
So how about this? Remember, you've always said you were making a joke about autonomous vehicle racing.
Right.
Okay, well, it's not a joke.
Oh, really?
I found an article on this. There are people doing this.
You're kidding.
All right. You want to find out more about this? You can Google the word robo race.
Robo race? And what does robo race?
They are a company that is in California. Big surprise. Northern California. That hopes to host autonomous events where entrants race around a track similar to current racing. Now, the way they're doing it right now is each team's car does fast laps on the track by itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, by itself.
By itself. And, okay, so if you're a human and you're driving around, typically around Thunderhill, this is where they're doing this today in this article. You can go around a minute and 45 seconds, okay? But the autonomous, they were doing 3 minutes, 38 seconds.
I wonder if it was like a drone. Do you sit behind a screen?
Exactly. Yeah, you'd have to. They have drone races.
Yeah, or
I've
a joystick of some kind. But yeah, you got to be able to see where it's going.
You got to program it. You got to do stuff. Yeah.
Well, isn't this like remote control airplanes or
right? Just... And there's another company called Self Racing Cars, and they've been doing this for a while, doing autonomous vehicles, trying to see who's faster. So there's also J.R. Hildebrand, the race car driver.
Oh, yeah.
All right. He's doing a project at Stanford where he's developing a self-driving Audi TTS race car. He's helping the students with that. Wow. And here's the problem. He says that a human race car driver can learn on the fly, can adapt.
Adjust accordingly. Adjust.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crucial skill. He says that this is the biggest problem, that they can't seem to get the autonomous vehicle to adapt and, you know, bob and weave and learn how to adapt to conditions.
Well, then it'll be a perfect series because then they'll be crashing them left and right and people will love it.
Oh, yeah. Perfect, right?
You know people love crashes. You know they love their crashes.
So self-racing cars, they had their first event last year.
You know, do they have exhaust pipes and engines?
Well, here's some photos for you. But I knew that would crack you up because you had been saying, you know, what's next? Are they gonna be racing these things?
There's no
and
way.
If you would, hey, how about the new Bugatti? Speaking of going fast, mm-hmm. Okay, top speed is 261 miles an hour. Only $3 million.
Is that the Veyron?
No, the Chiron.
Oh, the Chiron.
Chiron.
The new one.
Yeah, this is brand new.
Oh, my Lord.
And 16 cylinders, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, 1,500 horsepower, named after the French race car driver who drove Bugattis in the 30s. His name was Chiron. And the article I found out about it, it was in the LA Times, actually, this week. The writer said it's the most powerful production car on the planet.
I think so.
It's got a carbon fiber body.
Complete.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? And CF brakes.
So when it crashes, it just shatters.
Yep.
Millions and millions of pieces.
Special Michelins are on it just for that car.
Oh, can you imagine what that would cost if you had a flat?
Oh.
We won't even talk.
Well, you know, if you have to ask, you are not the proper buyer for this vehicle. Yeah, so I thought I'd mention that since we were talking about things that go fast.
That's good. I love it. That is absolutely good. All right, well, hey, we've got Brody Roa calling in. And Brody is he's calling in for Paris Auto Speedway, but he's a trainer.
Yeah, he likes to help out other young drivers and show them how to, you know, maximize their potential there on the dirt tracks.
Around the track.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break.
On the dirt ovals.
On the dirt ovals. And when we get back right here on AM 1170, The Answer, Paris Auto Speedway will be on with Brody Roa.
All right. So we'll have him instead of Scott Delosio.
Yep.
All right.
Stay tuned. You're listening to AM 1170.
The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170, The Answer. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. If you've not been to Paris Auto Speedway, my goodness, you have missed out. Not that far away, right there up on Lake Paris Road in Paris, California at the fairgrounds. These guys race all the time. Well, right now we've got Brody Roa on the line. Hey, Brody, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
You know, we're just trying to stay one step ahead of it. So I see Scott Delosio is paying you the big bucks to call in.
Oh yeah, I'll be looking for that check in the mail, I guess, huh?
Hey, do me a favor. Let me know when that bad boy shows up, because I've not seen one of those either.
We're all waiting for it.
I'm telling you. So Michelle was telling me, I guess you do a lot of training for young drivers.
I guess. If it wasn't for young kids coming into it, and you know, this sport would have died a long sure. time ago. So, you know, if yeah, I help out where I can, I guess.
Yeah, and that is so important. But one of the things, I mean, I'm just looking up. I didn't bother to write down all of your stats that Mr.
Well.
Ah, there it is.
You got a let's see, a sprint car in the.
Yeah, he's been in the national sprint car and been to Knoxville. So you've been, how long have you been racing?
I've been running sprint cars. This will be my seventh year.
Oh, wow.
Sprint cars? Yeah. Started in 360 sprint cars at Ventura in 2010 was my first year. We got a rookie of the year there and won the Wags Dash that year. So it was a pretty good start to do a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you travel a lot. You went to Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah, last weekend, my dad and my good buddy Zach, who helps us out every weekend, they drove the truck and trailer out to Nebraska for me.
All right.
And then, I got lucky and, I guess I got lucky and had to work on Thursday. So I flew in Thursday night and we ran Nebraska at I-80 Speedway on Friday night. And then we went to Knoxville on Saturday night.
All right.
Ran with the USAC National guys.
How'd you like it?
It was good. I think it was a big learning curve. We went back there a few years ago and ran Indiana Sprint Week, which we're going to do again this year. And, mm-hmm. Every time we go back there, the level those guys run at back there is, I don't want to say that we run easy out here because we definitely push out here, but they just take it to another level back there. Hmm. So it's good to go back there and get yourself stepped up a little bit before you go run one of the hardest weeks of the year at Indiana Sprint Week.
But so how happy are you to go back and pull a fifth in Nebraska
against that kind of competition?
You have to be.
I was pretty excited on Friday night. It was our first night going back there running with those guys, and we ended up fifth. I think we had something for them there for a while. The first half of the race, we were running them down, the leaders, and then it took rubber, and those guys, they don't back down when the rubber goes down. And I was I don't know if I was just happy with running a fifth at a national show or what, but I did not want to pop a tire and ruin that whole trip by doing that. So I think I backed it down a little bit more than they did. And we ran fifth. We got to fifth and rubber went down. We stayed there. So it was a good trip for sure. And big learning experience.
Well, you were doing that race to get ready for that whole week. So and to pull a fifth out of it, you probably weren't even thinking that high up the ladder, were you?
Yeah, I don't really go anywhere and expect to run bad, but to go there and I didn't really have any expectations. My expectations were to go back there and see where we stacked up with those guys and to run with them and for a while in the main catch them. And I know we're about on par with them, I think. So
wow.
Yeah, I know they don't run there every week, so that's kind of an equalizer, but just to be able to compete, sure. And show our hand with them was pretty good.
Yeah, because they look at California like, yeah, right. Because they think sprint cars, Mecca is right where in Nebraska and Knoxville and all that, which it really is when you come down to the history of the race. I mean, that's pretty stout. Now you go to Knoxville, you're running second, but then boom, you get knocked out in a crash. How'd that happen?
Well, yeah, we actually ran second in our heat race. I led the whole thing until the last corner, and then I kind of stepped on a little bit there and gave it away in the last corner, but it was good. And we actually started 15th in the main. I need to work on my qualifying a little bit before we go back there. And, we were running around. We were pretty good. I was kind of hanging out on the bottom behind John Stambro, which is kind of a legend of our sport here. And, they stacked up in front of us and got into it a little bit and just knocked the shock tower off the left front. And,
oh man.
That's all I did to the car. Barely even scratched it. Just cleaned that shock tower off, and that ended our night right there.
Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you gave it a shot. So now, when is this whole week of racing? When's that coming up?
We leave July 5th, and we race the 7th to the 15th.
Wow.
Back there in Indiana.
Yeah, well, I guess this is a perfect opportunity to bring up who in the world are your sponsors that are helping you get back there.
There's some good ones that have been along with us for a long time now, since about day one of about go-karting almost with Burris Racing. They've helped us out for as long as I can remember, since day one of my racing career. And HD Industries, I gotta say, Jim Z's, he's a founder of that company. He's a big part of our team, and he's having some medical issues right now. And we hope he gets back to the track soon. And Dino Don and Shaver Racing Engines, they build a great engine that gets us to the front. We couldn't do it without some horsepower nowadays. So, you know, we can run that thing forever, no problems. I just do my standard maintenance on it, and they make it easy. And Lee and Norman Leonard and Bruce Fisher and Driven Racing Oils, Maxim Chassis and CSI Shocks, they keep that thing rolling around the track, you know, top of the line stuff. So there's a lot of people that it takes to make this happen. My buddy Zach and my parents and, you know, my whole family, really, my grandpa and my uncle, you know, we couldn't do without all of them.
So you mentioned Burris in your go-kart conversation. I started karting back in the day when we used chainsaw motors, Mac 91s, 101s. Then we moved to the, you know, Yamaha. So, and you're a past champion. And it says here you even mentored Parnelli Jones's grandson in karts?
Yeah, I did that. Jim Z, actually, from HD, that's his grandson as well. He bought him a couple go-karts a few years ago, and you know, his name is Jimmy. He's big into hockey now, so that's kind of his thing. But there for a while, Jim and I were taking him out to the track, and we were trying to get him rolling there. But you know, his hockey schedule is just so busy that he didn't have much time for racing. So, you know, and I don't want to say hockey's cheaper, because I've heard stories where you know, he spent a week or so in Canada. So, that's kind of what he wants to do.
Well, you never know. He could come back. So now, hey, have you got somebody sneaking up behind you? I understand your wife raced a kart yesterday at Paris Auto Speedway. Is she starting to get the bug, as they say?
Yeah, I'm glad she doesn't fit in my sprint car seat. You know, we got two cars, so no. We built her a go kart 2 years ago, maybe, with a little clone engine from Harbor Freight. And She goes out and plays around. We went out racing yesterday at Paris Auto Speedway. They did a dirt road course in the infield. You know, when I take her out, I get a little jealous, but it's exciting to watch her run.
How'd she do?
She was running good. She was running fourth in the main, and she got a little tangled up with something, and so we drove over the top of her. And she got stacked up, and she got going again, though.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I tell everybody, the best bang for your buck is kart racing. I don't care if it's in the dirt or on asphalt. There's no better excitement. I mean, I like indoor tracks, too, but you get me outside on a road course, and oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, especially with the SoCal Oval Karter series we got going on here in Southern California. This dirt racing, you can take pretty much whatever you want, a little clone motor from Harbor Freight, and find a go-kart on Craigslist, and you can go out and have a good time.
Yeah, they're all bummed because I won't come up and you know, do the ride-along. But I keep telling them, if I go and ride in your go-kart, I will have to go buy one. It's a,
yeah, you can't.
Dude, I'm you telling can't. You, man, I when it comes to karting, oh my!
He'll become obsessed.
That's my Achilles heel.
Yeah.
It took me 6 months to get over the last time I rode in a go-kart. So, and I love
definitely
them.
Definitely fun.
They really are. I'm telling you. And here's the biggest problem. I've not done it on the dirt.
You got to do it.
I know you're going to say that. Oh, my God. Hey, who's that one kid that drives carts? He's like 7 foot tall. Garcia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I raced. Long time ago with him back at SoCal Sprinters at Adams. Yeah, he still does it out there. He was out there yesterday.
And he's good. I mean, he's big as a house, but he competes. I'm blown away by him.
Definitely not built for a go-kart, but he gets around and roll good.
Well, he's never going to roll over, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's it.
So your wife, is she actually thinking maybe this is something she might want to do on a more regular basis?
No, we just
play
and have fun. Yeah, off weekends for the sprint car schedule are pretty rare, so
yeah,
there's not a whole lot of time to do it. But when she goes and does it, she has fun, and
it's fun for you too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. I get to go hang out with all my buddies, and we go racing. She gets to go drive around. We still need off weekends to go do other stuff besides racing, I guess.
Sure.
When we can, it's a good time to go out there and do that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I offer this to all you guys at Paris, and I offer it to her as well. But if you would ever like to get some television time for you, your car, your sponsors, your team, all you have to do is haul down to San Diego some Saturday night, spend the night, put you on the number one watch morning show, KUSI. And I'll do it absolutely 100% for free and happy to do it. So if you ever want to, it's not for you. It's for your sponsors, really. Because, they've given their all for you. And this is just a no charge way of giving it back. Then we give them a clip of the show so they can have it. And, in fact, I'm going to talk to KUSI about and KCBQ about getting some stickers made. So that if you're going to call in on the radio show, I can give you some stickers to put on your car. Because you know as well as I do, when you're going to an advertiser, they love to support you, but they like to get something back. And number one watch TV and the only motorsports show in San Diego is a great way to do it.
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to believe that people like to sponsor and help out just because they enjoy it so much. But I know they got to get their money's worth out of it and get their time. So that's awesome. We'll have to take you up on that here one day.
Absolutely. Do you know Austin Edwards? He's only 12 years old, and he runs, he doesn't run dirt, he runs asphalt. So him and his mom and dad and sister, they all came down today, and I put him on TV, just because to help him promote his racing endeavor.
Yeah, he does mini
awesome
stocks and junior late stocks at Madera and at Orange Show.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and I knew I heard that name somewhere.
Yeah, you can't miss the car.
He has
it's
an
bright orange.
Yeah, orange car.
And it's got a big dog paw on the hood. Because at 12 years old, he's already got two charities that he supports. One of them is it's a dog shelter that won't put any dogs down. So he supports them. I think he gave them like $15,000 so far. And then he's working with, what's the military gentleman's name? He lives up in the San Bernardino area. And the only military, the first military person to pass away over in Iraq.
His name's Nathan Tyler Davis Foundation.
Yeah, so Austin's got the hood all wrapped with this guy's picture and everything on it. $5 a ticket, you get to buy the hood, or you get to win the hood, and then all the money goes towards the
scholarships.
The scholarships in this guy's name. 12 years old, he's coming up with these ideas. Is that me or is that crazy?
It's amazing.
Wow, that is awesome.
I know. So just remember the name Austin Edwards. He drives number 18. He'll be at the Orange Show, and he also drives a Pinto.
Yeah.
At Madera.
Uh-huh.
Crazy kid. Hey, buddy, I definitely get my contact information from Scott Delosio. Send me an email, and I'll set you up a Sunday that's good for you and the family. And you could come on down and do a little San Diego staycation, and I'll put you on TV.
That'd be awesome. We'll take you up on that for sure.
All right, man. I'm going to hold you to it.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, be safe.
Check out my website, BrodyRoa.com, and BR Performance on Facebook, Brody Roa Racing on Facebook. We're doing a deal for help support our trip back in Indiana.
Great.
A t-shirt package deal. So go on there and check out anybody that would like some t-shirts. I'm working on a new design right now to get that going.
When you going to Indiana?
We leave July 5th.
I might be able to get you on KUSI before you go, if that'll work.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to tow down there and do that.
Yeah, do the t-shirt. Ooh, yeah. Okay, well, get on Scott's tail and get my contact info. Oh, what the hey. StallD at Cox.net. StallD at Cox.net. Got it?
All right, you got it.
All right, look forward to it, buddy. Be safe. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Uh-huh. All right. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Aston Martin driver, Johnny Adam, who's going to be at Le Mans. Oh, my goodness. Stay tuned. You're listening to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
I'm Michelle.
And this is
AM 1170, The Answer.
1170, The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back, folks. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Certified Car Clinic, take care of all your automotive needs. And if you need a dyno pull, mention you heard it right here on KCBQ, and they will give you a screaming deal. All right, right now we got Aston Martin driver Johnny Adam. He will be competing at Le Mans. Stay tuned.
Okay, hey folks, you know Le Mans is right around the corner, and Aston Martin is going at it hot and heavy. I've got with us Johnny Adam. He's going to drive the number 97 V8 Vantage GTE. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's a busy weekend. I'm at Silverstone, weirdly enough, this weekend, racing in the UK for the British Championship, and then it's off to Le Mans Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the big race next week.
And you've won that championship where you're at right now a couple of times, right?
Yeah, it's UK Championship, British GT, mostly GT3 cars, not the GTE car that we run at Le Mans,
right.
World Championship as well. But yeah, it's been going for a while, this championship, and it's a good mix of kind of gentleman drivers with professionals and young up-and-coming professionals as well, so a good mix.
Yeah, well, and you know, like I say, you're a racer. You know, you'll race anything. I'm looking at your history. You started out in karting.
Yep.
Which I think anybody and everybody that ever wanted to do open wheel started in karting, me included. I just didn't get all the break you got. But, my gosh, you have got such a stellar resume, and I can see why Aston Martin picked you up. Is that a dream come true to be able to race for Aston Martin? I know a lot of people.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would think Ferrari and that kind of, me personally, this is the real deal, I think.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, as a young boy at 10 years old, when I first started go-kart, my ultimate goal was to try and make the hobby and the passion into a reality, really, try and make it into a profession. And that kind of got made in 2013 when I got, you know, a nice contract put in front of me from Aston Martin Racing to become one of their factory drivers. And it is, you know, it's a very big honour to drive for a manufacturer and an iconic brand such as Aston Martin, because they're worldwide. You know, a lot of people know the brand through, you know, films such as James Bond and through just the luxury car models that they have on the road nowadays. So it's, to race for them, not only just in a world championship and at Le Mans, but across the UK and
sure.
Europe with customers is quite a big honor, really.
Well, and you know, so for folks, because we do have listeners, you know, that just tune in, never listened to a motorsport show. So
yeah.
What is the rationale to put as much money, time, effort into a car just for the street? Or is it not for the street?
It's not for the street, really. I mean, there is a lot of investment into our race car. I mean, what we do, we take the chassis from Aston Martin road car department, and that's as far as it goes from there. You know, the rest of it is all done in-house with ProDrive, the engineering firm who have the contract to run the Aston Martin racing program. So from there, the car obviously gets a purpose-built roll cage that has to be obviously FIA approved,
mm-hmm.
And obviously designed to obviously give the car good rigidity and obviously performance and stiffness as well. And then from there, it's basically all done in-house, you know, from engine to obviously wiring looms to suspension, design through CAD. And then obviously we have great partners that help us bring the race car together. So we have brake, you know, partners such as Paget, a gearbox partner such as Xtrak, and lubricant partners such as Total. So, you know, all these partners, they're there commercially to help us, but also mm-hmm. there from a performance point of view as well. So, you know, from the race program, we look for every little bit of detail, but that comes from the ground up. So
sure.
That comes from the build of the car, pretty much. So the guys, every winter, as much as we've ran this car for sort of 7 or 8 years now, we know it back to front and so well, that the guys always completely strip the car to a bare chassis come sort of December, January, and rebuild the cars to make sure they're 100% ready for the test program that normally starts in February, March, and then we go from there.
Wow. So how many years have you been running that chassis?
We've been running, so this car was called an Aston Martin Vantage GT2 car. And then Aston Martin, when they came back to GT Racing as a factory team in 2012, this chassis pretty much continued from there. So as a chassis, it's from that year, 2012. But the car's gone through quite a lot of evolutions from there. Mostly through, obviously, development to try and get the best performance out of the car. But the biggest change in the last 2 years has been a regulation change from the FIA for the GT Pro class. So not that the chassis changed, but we've changed a massive amount on bodywork.
Gotcha.
So we've gone for low drag and as much rear downforce as possible. So there was quite a big push internally from the engineers at ProDrive to get the car as slick as possible for the start of last year on a drag number, but also generate enough downforce to obviously work the tire harder and ultimately get a lap time out of the car as well.
Absolutely. Well, at least you got seat time, so, I mean, that's definitely in your favor. How much do you think of what you do at Le Mans this year will eventually roll back to the production car, or will any of it at all?
Yeah, no, there's a lot. You know, I'd say the relationship from our race program to the road department is becoming closer and closer every year. So, you know, there's stuff that we do in-house that, you know, we try and learn from the road car department and vice versa as well. So we're trying to learn as much from each other as possible to make the relationship closer, but also make the development on both the race side of things and also the road side of things a little bit more enhanced for potential customers in the future. So, you know, we're renowned for having a great looking car, but most importantly, we want to have a car that is reliable and is easy to drive, you know, for any racer out there. And that's the same as the road car side of things. You know, we have beautiful cars such as the DB11 that have got the performance, but when you drive these cars, they are easy to drive and quite rewarding on the road as well. So we try and have that kind of relationship as closely matched from road to race as well.
Yeah, I know Aston Martin was just in San Diego with the DB11.
Lovely, isn't it? Beautiful.
God, dude, I don't... And we got to go from the ocean out to the desert for lunch and back again through twisties, high mountains here in San Diego. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I did. I am so envious of you. But you know what? I'd be perfectly happy with a nice, that light blue. Oh, my God. That car is just amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. So, no, the great thing, you know, with Aston at the moment, it's the new models that are going to be obviously seen in the future as well. Mm-hmm. So, DB11 is the first one of that. And obviously, it's... quite an eye-catching and quite a different look as well to the current, obviously, DB9. But it's not until you drive the car itself that you realize the development and obviously the technology that has gone into the car from the guys at Aston. So it's a big, big step forward, and, you know, some really happy customers now driving these on the road.
You and me both. In fact, I'm trying to figure out, you know, they came here to do a press event. Now I'm trying to come up with an excuse why I needed to send it back to me some more for future testing. So if you talk to him, tell him, hey, you need to hook Dave up. You need to get that guy a car again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, well, good luck to you. I know this is going to sound weird, but a lot of times when I've had people like Jill DeFerrin and Max Pappas, a bunch of people, they've called me, and the next race they win. So that happens.
Well, yeah, we'll take that omen and hopefully have it next weekend.
Dude, I'm putting it on. And if you win... you better tell him you heard it on Racer Radio in San Diego.
Yeah, we'll be there. Yeah, no, it's really looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah.
It's the biggest race for us in the calendar, yep. And it's a big race for Aston. You know, we want to do a good job for them at Le Mans, and we'll see how we get on next weekend.
Yeah, can't wait, man. All right, well, hey, good luck, and we'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.